Let's see what happened.
Om Gyan Tumrasya Gyanada Shalavaya Chakshuman Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Maha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So I'm very happy to be here this evening in Richmond with so many wonderful devotees. I hear Divyanam Prabhu's wonderful explanation of Nectar of Instruction, Text 8, about how the mind should be controlled, not to be interested in the past or the future. Chanaka Pandit, he says, trust no future, no matter how pleasant. Mm-hmm. Even if you think future is going to be nice, don't think it's going to happen, may not happen. And I liked very much Prabhuji's point about how Vrindavan is dependent on the presence of devotees and not just a physical location, which leads me to understand that even here, where is Vrindavan? So we have, as Prabhuji mentioned, new Vrindavan, new Goloka, new Talavan. So what about Richmond? What is it here?
Maybe like Prabhupada one day will give some name, right? Srila Prabhupada will definitely inspire.
New Mayapur.
We already have new Mayapur.
How about new Govardhan?
So see, we have the good signs, suggestions and, you know, names started coming. So that's a wonderful sign. Yeah, by mercy of devotees and, you know, love amongst each other, definitely Krishna will provide that.
And this point about humility and Kirtaniya Sadahari, that was a nice question. What verse it is that indicates that we can chant 24 hours a day? I was traveling with Indradumna Maharaj and Sri Prahlad Prabhu, and I was sleeping in the same room as Sri Prahlad Prabhu. So at night, Sri Prahlad Prabhu would have dreams, and in his dream he would be preaching to the people just like we do on the beach every day. He'd be telling people they're not this body, they're the soul. He'd be inviting them for the festival, and he'd be doing kirtan in the dreams, and his feet would start moving. He'd be dancing in the dream, you know. So we see sometimes examples of devotees that are fully engaged during the day and fully engaged at night also. I'm looking forward to reaching that platform some lifetime. The other night I had a dream. There was a big thunderstorm. I thought I was in a. I woke up. I was in a war. You know. I woke up. Oh, it's thunder. You know. But I hope someday I can be fully absorbed in Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.
So I've been asked to just briefly describe the 10 offenses. Let's read them first, all of us. Number one.
To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for performing the holy names of the Lord. Three, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Four, to blaspheme the Vedic scriptures and verses of the devotees. Five, to consider the holiness of chanting and praying Krishna with the imagination.
Six. To give mundane on the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Seven,
to commit
the sinful activities and the strength of the holy name.
Chanting of Hare Krishna is one of the auspicious rituals and activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruited activities. Nine, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Ten, to do not have a complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain immediate attachment even after understanding
so many instructions on this subject matter. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Every devotee who claims to be a Vaishnava must carefully guard against these offenses in order to produce each of the desires. Krishna Prema.
Jai Shri Harinam Prabhu Ki.
Jai.
So today we're going to discuss these. I think you can turn it off now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, number six is to give some interpretation, mundane interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. So one time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining the glories of the holy name to his students. He was a Nimai Pandit. He was a Sanskrit grammar teacher. And one student said, you know, all these glories about the holy name, I think this is just like an exaggeration. Just so, it's just describing it just to attract people so people will take it up. It's not really true. It's just like kind of advertising, false advertising. So then Lord Chaitanya told the other students, no one should see the face of this student again because he had committed this offense of giving some interpretation of the holy name. It's just false advertising. So this is one example of that. Number seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy names. This is considered the worst. So Prabhupada gives different worsts. Sometimes he says this one, sometimes he says number three, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master is the worst one. But the spiritual master is giving us four regulative principles. No fish, no meat, no eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. So if we break these regulative principles, we're committing sinful activities. But the point here in this one is that you commit the sinful activities with the idea that actually, if I just chant Hare Krishna, all my sins will be vanquished. Like an Ajamil committed so many sinful activities in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Yamadutas were coming to drag him away, and he cried out, Narayan, calling for his son. So hearing the holy name of the Lord, the Vishnu Dutas came and saved him. And in the discussion between Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami, the verse, Tasmad Sankirtanan Vishnur Jagad Mangalam Amhasam Mahatam, great sin, Mahatam Apikoravyat. Vidyaikantika Nishkritam. Nishkritam means it's a great atonement. That even you do Mahatam, Mahapap, by chanting Tasmad Sankirtanam, Vishnur, by doing Vishnur Kirtan, by doing Krishna Kirtan, then even the greatest pop is vanquished. And it's true, but if we do that pop with the idea that, well, you know, I'll just chant Hare Krishna and it will be okay, there's that's the greatest sin. You know, we go and we've performed some grossly sinful activity, like breaking one of the four regulative principles, and then we think, oh, we'll just chant Hare Krishna. Another example given is the elephant bath. You familiar with the elephant bath example? The elephant goes for the snan, comes out, rolls in the dirt, again, is dirty. So then again goes to take bath. So if we chant Hare Krishna, become pure, free of sin, and then again we do sin, it's like just rolling in the dirt again, and then we say, well, I'll just chant, I'll just go back for another bath. So it's very sinful. One time, it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was a devotee named Kalidas. So Kalidas is a great Mahabhagavat, a great devotee. He was a very simple devotee, and he was just always chanting Hare Krishna. So one time as a joke, he would take the dice, you know, and chant Hare Krishna and roll the dice. as if gambling, you know. But this was just a joke. We cannot imitate these Mahabhagavats. You know, it's just like we shouldn't gamble and chant Hare Krishna at the same time. So we should be very careful. This is considered the worst offense. It's also considered an offense to be considered the chanting of Hare Krishna one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities, Karmakanda, the eighth offense. Just like Karmakanda means I do some ritualistic activity, some yajna, some puja, some dan, something like that, swaha, with the hope, you know, a nice wife, a house by the sea, a color TV, Jai Jagadish Hari, you know, to try to get some mundane results, some mundane lab, some mundane benefit. This is like doing demigod worship. Antavatu falam tesham tadbhavati apamedasam devan deva yajoyanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. That those who worship the demigods, their intelligence is considered less. Alpamedasam. Because the result is limited and temporary. You know, you're going to lose it at the time of death. So if we chant Hare Krishna with the idea to get something that we're going to lose at the time of death, or let's say I chant Hare Krishna because I want to go to the heavenly planets and drink somaras, but then I'll live there 10,000 years, but then Abrahma Bhuvana Loke Punarvartino Juna Mamupeta Tukantaya Punarjanma Navidyate. That all these planets in the material world are just places of birth and death anyway. So to try to get some materialistic benefit from chanting Hare Krishna, we think it's some karmakanda, that's a great offense. Because the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is Krishna prema, love for Krishna. And that is an eternal benefit. It's not karmakanda. So that's considered an offense. Number 9, to preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless persons. So we should not preach to an unwilling audience, someone who doesn't want to hear. Because if you preach to someone who doesn't want to hear, they'll become more resistant. And it's actually a form of violence, because they become inimical. I remember my first Sunday feast program. I was a new devotee in Ireland. I still had all my long hair and probably my beard and everything. I had just come out of living in the woods for 1 month. I joined the devotees maybe less than a week earlier. I had my japa mala, but that was the only thing that separated. I was living with the devotees. That was the only thing that separated me from the guests. Mm. You know, I was practically a Sunday feast guest. It was like my second Sunday feast program. So we were fortunate. We had, even though we're a group of only 5 devotees living in a small flat, we were fortunate that one sannyasi came to stay with us. So the sannyasi gave a nice lecture at our Sunday feast. We had maybe 10 or 12 people at our Sunday feast. And then the Sunday feast was over. We had some college students. And I was thinking, now is my chance to preach. You know, so I went to one guy, probably just came for the prasadam. And and I said, so how did you like the lecture? You know, and it's right. Everything's right, right? It's right. And he was like, who is this? And then the sannyasi yelled from across the room. The room was small, about this size. And he said, Eric, stop it! Leave him alone! He's a very, you know, powerful sannyasi, you know, very famous for his heaviness sometimes. So he totally heavied me out in front of the whole Sunday feast crowd. I was like shaking. And then later he explained to me that people have had religion pushed down their throat for millions of lifetimes. And they don't need more of that, and it doesn't encourage them. So we should not preach to a faithless person, because it just makes them more resistant. We should not disturb them. And Lord Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that a devotee is not disturbed by anyone and does not disturb anyone. So we should be so expert that we can preach, we should be able to judge a person, preach them accordingly. And sometimes the best preaching is to leave someone alone. Like that. So we shouldn't preach to an unwilling audience. And also this ninth offense also applies to, we should not give diksha to someone who's not serious. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes diksha is given very cheaply. Someone may not even be following the four regular principles properly, mm-hmm. or may not be chanting 16 rounds. And so one guru will say, well, you know, he's got a lot of money, or he's very influential, or he can help the movement, or this or that, or for whatever reason, you know, I want to collect more followers, you know, and they give diksha. You know, and this is an offense. If someone gives diksha to someone who's not serious, this is also considered the ninth offense. So you all be careful when you become diksha gurus. Number 10, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions. So if you've heard all these instructions, we've heard them, but we continue in this materialistic state of mind, aham mameti, mm-hmm. I, me, mine, my body. And we don't understand that we're not this body with the spirit soul, jivera srupahoi krishnera nityadas, eternal servants of Krishna. Then that's also offensive to hold on to our materialistic consciousness. And another understanding of this tenth offense is that if a person hears the glories of the holy name but remains uninterested, who cares? You know, I've heard so many wonderful glories of the holy name, get to asakti stage, kirtaniya sadahari, develop humility, develop Krishna prema. Ah, who cares? You know, let's go play Xbox, you know. You know, it's like if we don't maintain the interest in the glories of the great value, the great treasure of the holy name, then that's also offensive. It says that, I'm just going to briefly discuss the 11th offense, inattentiveness.
That's very important.
It says that if you're not attentive, it's also an offense. And actually, it's very important because the 11th offense of inattentiveness is considered the root of all the other offenses. Mm-hmm. If we can maintain attentive chanting, all these other offenses will go away. Mm-hmm. But if we're inattentive while we're chanting, all these weeds will come up. And they'll disturb our bhakti. So inattentive chanting is primarily in three categories. Mm. Number one, a lack of determination. Okay, determination means that when you're chanting Hare Krishna and your mind goes off the mantra, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to bring it back. Mm-hmm. But it takes an endeavor. It takes some determination. Sometimes we're tired or we're just not feeling very spiritually strong and the mind goes away and we just wave goodbye. You know, and let the mind go where the mind wants. You know, and maybe a few rounds will go by that way. You know, you don't hear any of those rounds. The mind is in a totally different state. State of mind or state of the country. And then This is called lack of determination. So we should make a very strong endeavor that whenever the mind goes, bring it back. Whenever the mind goes, bring it back. The mind goes, bring it back. It takes strength of will, it takes strength of determination. All of these offenses are best overcome by associating with devotees who chant without offenses. If you could associate, especially during chanting. Mm-hmm. This is what Harinam Chintamani recommends. If you can chant together with devotees who are overcoming these offenses, that will help us overcome the offenses. Mm. Now the second category of inattentiveness is called distraction. Mm. That when we're chanting, we get distracted by so many things. Maybe we're chanting and then, you know, surfing on the internet, chanting with the right hand and surfing on the internet with the left hand. I was speaking with one devotee today. He told me that he chants with one hand and he checks on the internet with his cell phone with his other hand. And So many things. When you're looking out the window, you know, looking, picking up a book, you know, who can read and chant at the same time? We laugh, but we've all tried to do it, right? So, especially in today's day and age, where there are these weapons of mass distraction. You know, there's just so many distracting things all around us. So, this is sometimes called radar chanting. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Have you experienced this?
All the time.
See what's come up, you know? What new messages, what new this, what new that. Notifications. You should probably call it notification japa, you know? So this should be avoided, you know. So keep your hand in your pocket, you know.
Change yourself up.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually recommends chanting with a cloth over your head like this, so you can't see. Yeah, he actually does it and recommends it as one technique. You can try that. Put a cloth over your face, and he recommends, you know, like lock yourself in a room. So no one's going to disturb you, and put a cloth over your face and just like chant attentively. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, welcome, welcome. So the third form of inattentiveness after distraction is called sleep. And this is known as dive bomb chanting.
What's that?
Dive bomb.
Dive bomb.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So this is called dive bomb chanting, sleeping chanting, and this should also be avoided. And again, chanting in the association of devotees, plus some practical things, going to sleep at a reasonable hour, getting good rest, trying to get good rest. There's so many techniques for sleeping well, making the room fully dark, and sleeping with the head to the east, to the south, and like that, being regulated. So these are the three forms of inattentiveness: lack of determination, distraction, and sleep. And if we can avoid these things, then it will help us become attentive in our chanting. And by becoming attentive in the chanting, we can avoid the 10 offenses in chanting the holy name. And with the mercy of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, very quickly we'll attain the goal of chanting, which is
Krishna Prema.
Are there any comments or questions?
So
yes, Mataji. Then you had a question also?
Yeah.
Okay, her, then okay. You're next. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Some people, while driving, they chant. Is that recommended? No.
It's not recommended because you can get in an accident.
So, it's not count on chanting. Like, when we chant also, it not count on 16 rounds or whatever rounds we do.
You're asking me a second question now. The first question is, is it recommended or not?
You only but you have one.
Babaji,
she
asked without the dot.
It was a continuous.
It was a two-part question.
It's an A and a B. A, it's not recommended.
B?
B, does it count? That's between you and your spiritual master. You speak with your spiritual master about that. Okay? Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, so I was basically along same lines that sometimes, you know, because we have to finish 16 rounds every day, sometimes we just, whenever we get a chance or, you know, even in kirtan, even in class, we just keep on doing our 16 rounds. Somehow we just... So what should be done, and then is it... okay, because we are in a spiritual atmosphere and you're chanting. If one activity is not there, then at least I'm doing chanting. So what should we...
Is it another A and B question? So again, the question seems to be, can I chant and do other things at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be...
Especially other spiritual activities or spiritual services.
It seems to be in the distraction category. Because if it's not sitting in a closed room that's locked with something over your head and chanting, it's you're simultaneously doing other activities. So that would seem to be potentially offensive chanting, being that it's distraction, suffering from distraction. So not recommended. And also if we chant during other spiritual activities like kirtan, as you mentioned, or class, it could also serve to distract others. The spiritual activities are satsanga. Sangha means together. So when we do something together, we should do something
together.
If we are all doing kirtan together, then that creates unity. If some of us are doing kirtan and some of us are chanting japa and some of us are eating prasadam and some of us are reading Bhagavad Gita, it's dysfunctional, it creates disunity. Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you keep this movement together after I'm gone. So we want to do things that will promote unity. So sometimes it's a higher principle, as opposed to, I just need to get my, last three rounds done, even though it's in the middle of the kirtan or in the middle of the class. So then the higher principle is that we should all do something together. Okay, now we're all sitting, we're hearing together. So now it's producing unity. Does that answer your question? Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, last question. Thank you.
You said the ninth offense to preach to faithless person is not recommended. Like you were giving your example. But how we can determine that person is faithless, because he came to the temple, ate the prasad, like say we have a new devotee is coming, so everybody tells that if a new person comes, you try to preach, tell about that.
Yeah.
So how we can differentiate that this is a faithless person or who's coming in the temple?
We have to be a little sensitive to them to understand if they want to hear or they don't want to hear. Some people will come to the temple just out of a formality. It's Janmashtami, I should go to the temple. My relatives are there, I should go to the temple. Like when you're serving prasadam, you have some sense. If someone can take more or not. And sometimes they say, no, I don't want more. But you know that if they want more actually, or they can digest it. And then sometimes you know that if just you go, boom, they'll go, I can't eat that, and it may go to waste. So we should get that sense, it comes from experience, it comes from chanting your rounds nicely, being in touch with the super soul. Krishna will tell you, preach to that person, or sometimes don't preach to that person, like that. So, and then of course, just be sensitive to their face. Are they smiling? Are they making eye contact with you? Do they have an open, body language? And if they're standing there like this with their arms folded, that means no. So we have to be sensitive like that.
Thank you.
I'd just like to add a little bit on this. I heard this. That if we really want to preach someone, or we want someone to hear this message, we should hear them first. So once we hear them, they will hear us for the rest of the life. If for the first time we do not hear them and make them hear us, then they will immediately just resist. So first is to hear them. Just be quiet, be friends, and let them talk about them. Let them talk about their interest and all those things. And then when we gradually develop the friendship, they will hear for the rest of their spiritual life. That's the key.
Preaching means inspiring someone in Krishna consciousness. Not always that we have to defeat their logic and this and that. It means to inspire them.
Or slash them with philosophy or...
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you very much.
Grace Eklava Prabhu Ki Jai, Jagat Krishna Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Shri Rupa Goswami Ki Jai, Upadeshamrita Ki Jai, Vancha Kalpataru Hischa Kripa Sindhu Veva Cha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo. So we'll have some of this for the end.
Thank you.
Bhakti. Hari Gaur Premanande.
Hari Hari Bo. Okay, so we'll have Prashad, and we would like to talk to all the Bhakti Shastri aspirants, so please, we'll meet at Prashadam table.
You have to decide what to call which one.
He wants to call it.
Who did what?
Who did what?
Huh? Please come.
What did we do wrong? So we learned it. Mind is saying we are in trouble, but we are not in trouble.
Our mind is not at that level.
We are in Vipreshna, it's not in trouble. See, Mataji, listen now and observe all that.
Now I'm in bigger trouble.